Good afternoon. Is everybody still connected?
Yep, we're still here.
All right, very well. We have successfully activated the recording device through AHA Processing. We have selected a featured community today. That featured community is the Marion County, which is spearheaded by the Marion County Municipal Court. Judge Ballinger is going to be the featured speaker together with her magistrate, and I'd like to turn the meeting over to them.
Well, thank you, Judge Robb. This is Michelle Borovic. I'm the magistrate. Judge Ballinger is going to be in and out doing some things on the bench, and so she asked me to kind of spearhead the presentation, but as she's available, she will certainly chime in and maybe give some more explanations. And what I've done, we've sort of outlined how we've come into the Bridges process, how we're using it in court, as well as, you know, spearheading what has turned into a pretty significant community initiative. And I don't know if it's best just to kind of let you know what we're doing or invite questions as we go, but Judge Robb, I will defer to your guidance on that. Let me just get started. In the summer of 2009, Judge Ballinger and some other staff members enrolled in the Judicial Conference presentation of Bridges Out of Poverty, and that was Supreme Court sponsored, so that was not any kind of an expenditure on the part of our court other than just getting people there. And I think we walked away from that, as I think Chris had already explained, kind of an understanding and an appreciation for Bridges and poverty and the role it plays in the court. But I don't think at that point had any idea what kinds of programs we would be developing. I think that was something that Phil Duvall taught. And so we came back, we had a couple of ideas. We focused at first on driver's license offenders, and we did two things with them. If someone is charged with driving under a suspended license, we created a special docket for them. And so what they would do is they would enter a plea, but then they would not have disposition right away. And what we do is right there, we pull up their driving record, we review the driving record with them and what they need to do to bring their license back into compliance. We actually have a printed checklist that breaks down the tasks and gives all the contact phone number, addresses, post office boxes, you know, whatever information they need to get things done. The dispositional hearing is reset for 30 days out. For some people, they can get everything done in 30 days, but as you can imagine, there are folks with a pretty long list of things to do. So we also let them know what is reasonable to have done within 30 days, and we have them participate in the conversation. They may have suggestions on what they can get done. We also will have them explain to us what they're going to be working on to make sure they've understood. So it's more of a two-way conversation. And that's been a successful program. We have a number of people that have their driver's license back into compliance within a relatively short time. Others take quite a bit of time to work through the program, but they continue to have their dispositions reset for 30 days as long as they're making progress. So that took some extra court time, but really wasn't something that was a big expenditure. The other thing that we noticed regarding the driver's license issue
Michelle,
is that
Michelle, if they come back with a valid driver's license, what do you do with the plea then?
What we would do is amend it to a no operator's license violation. They would still have the same disposition, which in our court happens to be $500 with $250 suspended, but it only has 2 points on their license, and we would not have to do any additional driver's license suspension.
Very good.
And so that's kind of the benefit that, the biggest benefit they get is that now they've dug themselves out of the hole.
Correct.
So they still have a consequence for the original offense, but the penalties end up being less severe, particularly because of the reduction of the charge and the fewer points.
Thank you.
Sure. Along with that, we noticed that one barrier that prevented some people from having a valid license is that they would have to physically get down to Columbus, Ohio, which is a good hour drive from Marion. Of course, they don't have a driver's license, so they need someone to take them there and to get their fees paid. And so what we were able to do, I believe someone donated a computer to us, and we set that up in our clerk's office, and it's a public access computer now with links to the BMV. And the defendants can actually review their driver's license status online, and they can pay their reinstatement fees online. And, you know, we can even kind of help them navigate their way through that computer system if need be. And so we're now saving them hours of driving and standing in line and lots of inconvenience. And that, again, that was kind of a no-charge thing that we could do in our court. Well, from that, there were some additional special dockets that were created. One is the WIN mental health docket, and also we have a drug and alcohol treatment docket. And so we have people identified for those. They meet weekly or less often as they progress through the program with a judge and a probation officer and counselor and case manager. There's a plan that they have to complete, and we find that that specialized docket and that intensive court involvement and time allows the court and the defendant to build and maintain relationships. And we found that the treatment outcomes are more effective. We're seeing a reduction in recidivism and just a better understanding through that relationship, a lot more mutual respect. And I don't know that we have any hard and fast statistics on that, but we've definitely seen improvement of the outcome of the individuals going through that program versus just receiving some standard dispositions. And again, that's no cost other than staff time. We have the benefit bank in court. That is an internet-based counselor-assisted service. That's something that's in the state of Ohio. I'm not sure if there's something similar in other states. But we were able to have people trained on this free of charge. And what can happen is if we have individuals in the court system that are not yet connected to government benefits and programs, we can sit right down with them. We have a dedicated area in the probation department where we can go ahead and fill out the information online and get them connected to the services that they might qualify for. And there are other spots in town, but again, we're trying to look at the issue of while you're here, instead of sending you somewhere else and increasing your agency time, let's try to take care of as many things as we can that would be possible.
Michelle,
another thing we looked at would be community service. And Judge Robb, I think you were a big inspiration on this one. We were impressed at the rate of pay, so we also decided to increase our hourly rate to $10 an hour. And that's just provided that the fines and costs are worked off in their entirety. Previously, the court had only been paying $6 an hour. And so, sorry about that. Then we are also expanding the sites that will offer community service. And we have a festival that goes on every year in Marion, as I'm sure other communities have. And so we've been able to identify community service options at that festival. And again, that really hasn't been an out-of-pocket cost to the court. Then we've looked at allowing some nonviolent offenders to serve their jail time on electronic home monitoring. And this is really prompted by the frustration that in our jail system, some of our people that are scheduled to serve time on misdemeanors have to reschedule their time because the jail is full. And so for some folks, that's not a big issue. For others, if they're working, that was a big complication, and so we found that where appropriate, we could take care of that through home monitoring. We have a grant that provides some subsidy to indigent offenders who cannot afford to pay for the electronic home monitoring devices. And so keeping the offenders at home is actually a lot more cost-effective than putting them in jail, and it allows the offenders to maintain their responsibilities to their families. And so if they are the mainstay of that family, they still can keep up with that obligation. So with all of that going on, we also had a couple of our staff members trained as trainers for Bridges Out of Poverty. Again, that was part of the Ohio Supreme Court initiative. And when we came back, we realized how important it was to involve the whole community in addressing poverty. And so in February of last year, the court talked to the Chamber of Commerce and then our Treka Digital Academy, and we all teamed up to sponsor a community kickoff event We had programmed a morning poverty simulation provided by Second Harvest Food Bank, and they do those simulations free of charge. That's an incredible resource for Ohio. And we did that in the morning, and then in the afternoon, we had Jody Farr and Phil Duvall come and do a Bridges Out of Poverty presentation. And we really had no sense of what the interest would be. We knew that we had to convince at least 40 people to attend the poverty simulation, and so we were nervously, you know, recruiting people for that, and we ended up with over 150 people attending that day. So the demand and the response far outweighed what we had ever expected, and quite honestly, that's been the theme of our effort over the past year or so. We continue to be met with that kind of interest. And so that was free of charge. When people gathered after that event and gave some feedback, the primary thing they indicated was that they wanted more training, that they thought that was great information, but they didn't feel they knew enough to be able to do anything with it. So in June, the United Way, our Marion Area Counseling Center, our local Children's Services Agency, and Marion General Hospital, along with the Chamber and the Court in TRECA, sponsored four more days of Bridges training. And what we did was we had a Thursday-Friday training session at the beginning of the month. Day one focused on basic Bridges information, and day two focused on, at that session, how the community could work together to put the information into practice. Because initially in our community, when we started talking about Bridges, the response was sort of like, yeah, we've learned about that, but it's not very helpful because no one's ever showed us how to put it to work or put it to use. And so Jody was able to have a whole day that really focused on that. Then in the latter part of June, there was another two-day training session. Day one was, again, Bridges. And then day two talked about how to implement Bridges both on an individual level and within your own organization. So less of the community collaboration, but, again, a full day talking about implementation. And we continue to receive great feedback on that. So now we've had probably about 500 people trained in Bridges through those programs. We also had our Marion City Schools bring Jody Farr into town for their summer convocation. So all of the staff at our main city school system has had Bridges training for a half day. And then Marion General Hospital tag-teamed with them and had Jody present training to their department heads for the afternoon. And we have another training. Jody Farr has been very popular in Marion, so we have her coming back on February 25th. Now this partnership that's sponsoring her is Job and Family Services, and that would be a partnership between two different counties, as well as our TRECA Digital Academy, the Court, Epworth United Methodist Church is going to join in for financial sponsorship, as well as Marion Technical College. So you're starting to see, and I think what we have found is that as the presence of Bridges is growing more in the community, we are very pleased that people are literally picking up the phone or knocking on the door and asking to be a part of it. So Job and Family Services on their own contacted another county and arranged for this February training session. TRECA, again, volunteered their space. The Court is helping out. And Epworth and Marion Tech both just on their own volunteered to provide some financial sponsorship. So we've just been very fortunate with that. So that's what's happening on the community training front. We also are offering Getting Ahead. And so in April of last year, Marion General Hospital sponsored our first class, and Epworth also sponsored it. Marion General provided the vouchers that we were able to provide to the investigators, and then Epworth provided childcare, meals, facility, volunteers, coordination, all of that. And we had four people facilitate the class, and we had 10 investigators, and 7 out of our 10 investigators graduated. And we've had now a second Getting Ahead class where 8 out of 10 people graduated. That was sponsored by the Marion Community Credit Union. That came about because our United Way director was talking about Bridges to her board, and one of her board members volunteered to sponsor the class. And another board member of Whirlpool Corporation also volunteered to sponsor a Getting Ahead class, and so we are going to start their class that's being sponsored in February of this year. Now, that doesn't mean that only people from that company attend Getting Ahead. We recruit participants in that class from the court, as well as from the sponsoring agencies, from steering committee members, referrals, and just from general community referrals. So we are not trying to restrict that class to any particular population. So now that we have two classes that have graduated and a third one in the works, we realize that we need to continue the support. And so I think our facilitators have remained in contact with the investigators, but now we're in a position to start a Circles of Support program. And what we've done is we've taken individuals who have attended Bridges training and we've provided some additional training for them. And then we have our Getting Ahead grads that become the family leaders. And as a matter of fact, yesterday we hosted our speed matching program. We had a lunch and a dinner event where the circle leaders were able to interview the allies and make preferences on who they'd like to be matched with. We also sponsored a couple of just social events, which had a meal and some mixers in December, to allow them to meet, for one thing, to meet the two different Getting Ahead classes to meet one another, and for them to start seeing some familiar faces, so it wouldn't be so intimidating to do the interviews and to be matched up with a couple specific individuals. And we've heard really good feedback. This is all being developed as we go, so you can imagine we are busy in creation mode. But so far, I think that we're, I think that the order that we've done things has been very helpful because we've had our base of training that we can build from and our base of volunteers to build from. We've had a lot of support from our steering committee. I think we feel overwhelmed at keeping up with the large amount of activities we have to do, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But that's kind of where our focus has been. Now, back to steering committee, I think we have a broad-based support in the community. We have our Court, United Way, Upworth Methodist Church. We have representatives from Legal Aid, Job and Family Services, Goodwill, the hospital, the chamber, the fire department, our Trekkah Digital Academy, Marion City Schools, Whirlpool, which is another key employer. And we also have someone who is kind of semi-retired who has been a key social worker in the community and knows the ins and outs of a lot of how some of this collaboration works. The steering committee developed the community's vision and mission and strategies. We've assembled committees to support our strategies. And now we're in the process of forming a 501c3 corporation. We have an attorney and an accounting firm in town that will be providing services for us to do that. And the vision, we're calling this initiative Marion Matters. And the vision is that the funding would come from a combination of grants with a special effort to pull new grant money into the community. We don't want to compete with the money that everyone's already trying to compete for. And also have it funded by membership. And so there's kind of a progressive scale, some kind of introductory level memberships for individuals and businesses, to some more sophisticated membership levels that will provide a bit more of a financial base. And with that, we're hoping to be able to hire a coordinator to keep up with all the details that seems like we're always struggling to try to keep up with. The community is taking notice. We've been invited to do a lot more public speaking this year. We just made a presentation to the Rotary. I think it was very well received. Our Reentry Coalition wants to learn more about what we're doing. And our Tea Party, our local Tea Party, I think, has just invited us to kind of introduce a topic to them. We've stayed involved statewide and nationally in the project. We had Court, Trekkah, and Marion General attend the National Bridges and Circles Conference. That was in October of last year, and I think next year we're going to recruit even more people to attend because that is an amazing place to learn more about how to make this work in the community. We're involved in the roundtable, so the Supreme Court has a roundtable as well as this roundtable, and there's one for Across Ohio that we have steering committee members attending. I am involved a lot with the Ohio Association of Magistrates. I'm actually in charge of the municipal magistrate training. And so we are going to be having a poverty simulation at the Spring Magistrate Conference. and Bridges Training at the Fall Magistrate Conference. That will be geared toward municipal magistrates, but I think the Judicial College and the Association are receptive to expanding the Bridges Training to the full association maybe in 2012. So I think that's a really good foot in the door. Locally at court, we've been working on rewriting our civil rules to make sure that they explain our process and truly give access to everyone and fair access to the court. We have come across an internship. We have a local campus of Ohio State University, and we've learned that their sociology majors need to do some community volunteering in order to graduate. So the Chamber of Commerce is sharing their intern, and she's just doing some kind of office work for us, but help out with the initiative. We also have a law student coming this summer with an externship, and we are going to have him focus on making sure that we are giving access to everyone in our court system, so to review the court process and also review the information that the court is sending out to make sure that we are doing a good job of explaining the process and so everyone has a fair opportunity to participate. And then our 501c3 is going to pursue a VISTA volunteer, again, looking for someone to spearhead all of this a little bit more. I think the last topic I wanted to comment on was just some of the individual differences that Judge Ballinger and I have at the bench, as well as probation officers and clerks and bailiffs, realizing that people in poverty tend to operate more in a casual register. And so to allow that casual register a little better presence, to explain things in a way that is more understandable in that casual register, and kind of to even do some translating when necessary. We make sure that we explain our decisions, and so, for instance, our small claims court decisions are probably more lengthy than legally may be necessary, but want to make sure that people understood that we've really listened to the information that they've presented, that they have had their day in court, and explain the law and apply how the law required the decision that was made. We also, especially when we have pro se litigants, make sure that we do some kind of an explanation of the process to make sure that they, again, have fair access. And then we're always looking for opportunities to do additional training. I think one of the recent things that happened was that Judge Ballinger found the video Waging a Living and passed it around, and we all took turns taking it home at night and looking at that. So I think there's just a real sense of constant awareness and commitment to the project, and new ideas are encouraged. I think that's also another strength. As a matter of fact, after the phone conference today, we're going to be going into a meeting about a grant to start another specialized docket. Okay, I've talked forever, so are there any questions or comments about that? Is that hopefully what you were looking for, Judge Robb?
That was perfect. Thank you so much. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes, earlier I think Curry mentioned that Judge Ballinger had written an article that was going to be shared with the judges in that area, and I was wondering if it would be possible for me to get a copy of that article to share with the judges here in Schenectady, New York.
Actually, that article has been sent to AHA Processing and will be on the website.
Okay.
If it's not already posted, it will be posted any moment.
Thank you.
Michelle, would you be able to send that to, is this Elaine speaking?
No, this is Chris from Schenectady.
Okay. Chris, would you be able to send that to Chris?
What's her email?
Absolutely. And actually what I can do is just maybe send a reply to all.
Oh, that'd be great. And Elaine does want that.
Touch that, and that way everyone has it. And you'll see that that was sort of my cheat sheet for a lot of what I talked about. So you'll also have kind of a good categorization. It's not quite as up-to-date as the presentation I gave, but it'll give you a lot of the information that I shared.
Okay, thank you.
This is Elaine. Would y'all by any chance have any type of organizational chart developed yet on how you've gotten all the partners and how it's all connected?
Well, we don't have an organizational chart. We're working on formalizing that 501c3, and so we're doing that a little bit here. But I can tell you, I think what happened was, and Judge Ballinger, she's here, she may want to weigh in, when we came back from that train the trainer session, that four-day session, and we realized that the courts needed to be able to reach out and collaborate, And so we identified initially, I think, just two key players, our Chamber and United Way, realizing that we wanted some sort of business presence and we obviously needed to network with social service agencies. And then I think it kind of slowly grew from there as people showed interest. Marion General Hospital showed a lot of interest in leadership.
Yeah.
And so it's been a combination of trying to strategically determine who in the community has to buy into this for it to succeed, and then being open to people who are interested. And we still have some key players that are not around the table yet. And so what we're hoping is for maybe some of the other government leaders that we would like to have on board, that once this is successful enough, that will encourage them to join in our efforts. Judge Ballinger, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I would like to kind of give you a little sense of what when we got out of Train the Trainer in December, we were so excited that we could create a program here at the court, and we decided that we needed business on hand, because when our people got out of our special dockets, they needed to find jobs, and we thought that would be a good connection. So when we set up our kickoff in February, we aimed at businesses. For some reason, people just caught on to this and just started signing up and asking about it. And when we ended up with 150 people on that day, we couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. We had to set up two poverty simulations at the same time because we had so many people. And since then, it's taken off, and we're guessing that it's taken off because our community has very high poverty statistics, mm-hmm. high recidivism levels. We are in really bad shape, and that's why it has really taken off. We haven't had time to sit down and make any kind of plan. It's rolling like a snowball.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the reason I'm interested, this is Elaine again, because I just had a conversation last week with the community director of the United Way here, and they're rethinking how they are doing all their programs. Heretofore, our United Way basically had, you know, legacy grantees, and you couldn't get your foot in the door with them. Well, they're now realizing they've got to reach out, and I was just explaining to this lady about bridges and getting ahead, and she seemed very interested. So I would love to be able to connect to the United Way person that y'all are working with and see, you know, if I can get those two connected so that I can get, you know, a little more ammunition about, you know, doing this and moving forward with it.
And, Elaine, this is Michelle again. I would be glad to give you that information. Pam Stone is our United Way director, and I was actually on the United Way fairly recently, and they went through that change from sort of the legacy agencies
mm-hmm.
to programs that
mm-hmm.
are addressing specific initiatives, and they're actually
right.
showing some impact. And
right.
so they
right.
have gone through over the past probably 3 years a transition
mm-hmm.
to impact-based funding, and
okay.
that works really well with the bridges. And one of the, I think nationally, the three areas of focus are education, income, and health. And so
right.
we have seen
yep.
that our bridges initiative is a great way to accomplish their income
mm-hmm.
portion of their initiative. And so that has been a wonderful fit.
Okay. Sounds good.
So I'll email her contact information to you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Are there any other questions for Michelle or Judge Ballinger? I want to thank both of you. That was very well done. It's exciting to see what your community is doing, and it's very exciting to see how the court has become an integral part of this community initiative. So thank you both for what you're doing for your community and for sharing that with us today.
Thank you.
Now, they have already prepared a summary of what's going on in their community. That's been forwarded to AHA Processing. It is available on the website, or soon should be available on the website. I would like to encourage our other team members to do something very similar to this. If you would please, in a very short term, if you could give me the your full name, your address, all of your contact information, telephone numbers, email address, the name of your organization, and a very brief description of what's going on in your community or in your company or your organization with the Bridges Initiative. This would allow persons outside of our team to then have direct contact with somebody who has similar issues or dealing with bridges in a similar environment. So if you would be kind enough to provide that to me so I could pass that on and post it on the AHA website, that would open up communications for others within the criminal justice system that is similarly situated to your particular community. So thank you again, Attorney Ballinger and Magistrate and Michelle. I do appreciate all of your efforts here today. If there are no other questions, I'm going to stop the recording device and we'll wrap up a little bit of business here at the end of our meeting. Are there any other questions?
Judge, this is Corey. If I could make two comments.
Yes.
One is Michelle had mentioned Bridges, the Ohio Benefit Bank. That is available in several other states, including Florida. You can go online to the website is thebenefitbank.com. If you go there, it tells you about the progress of this program in 10 other states, primarily in the Midwest and the South, but Florida is one of them. So thebenefitbank.com provide information about that project. Additionally, for Michelle down in Florida, I would think you may want to think about, as Michelle has done with the magistrates here in Ohio, if you can't get to the judges this year in Florida, maybe you can get to the magistrate.
Excellent. Excellent. Are there any further comments on the featured communities presentation? Very well. I'm going to stop the recording feature. Please bear with me for just one moment.
Oh, a minute. What is the plan? I'm just thinking.